courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLRC podcast, episode number 295. Andrew with you once again. I am alone this week as Ben is in Melbourne and Kenny is in Amsterdam. As for me, I'm in a constant state of denial, but that does leave me free to do a podcast about basketball video games. So here I am to talk to you about that very subject. We are just a few days away from the release of the NBA 2K20 demo. We do have some information about the game coming through. There was a community event a couple of days ago from when I'm recording this. A few insights have been trickling out on Twitter and various forums and on Reddit. And we've also had some other news announcements during the week with some cool details about the games. So without any further ado, let's get to it. So the first bit of news this week was about new legendary teams that were being added to NBA 2K20. We wondered what was meant by legendary teams. We assumed classic teams or something maybe like the all-time teams. Turned out we got a little bit of both. With the new legendary teams, we actually have basically the Decade All-Stars or All-Decade teams back this year, starting with the 50s and 60s All-Decade team and coming through the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now 2010s, because here we are at the end of another decade. Where has the time gone, you might ask, and certainly that's what I've been asking for perhaps a couple of years now. But yes, the All-Decade teams are back, and predictably, not everyone is thrilled about it. Some people feel that it's content that's already in the game to a certain extent, which is true. We have had the Legends in there since before NBA 2K11. In fact, the All-Decade teams were part of the game, just as they used to be part of NBA Live back in the day. That's how we came to call them the Decade All-Stars, because they were the 90s All-Stars, 80s, etc. All-Decade, Decade All-Stars, whatever you want to call them. Basically, teams comprised of players from that decade. Interestingly, it looks like they're actually doubling up. Now, that's something they didn't really do back in the day. They really had a hard line between decades. Like a player like Michael Jordan, for example, would be in the 90s usually, since that's when he won his 6 championships, of course, with the Chicago Bulls, and had some of his best years in the league, although some of his greatest statistical years were in the 80s. But looking at the teams that have been revealed, the All-Decade teams, for example, Jordan is in both the 80s and the 90s, which is an interesting way of doing it, but at the same time, it certainly makes sense. And if I ever get back to doing the rosters for NBA Live, I might even take that approach myself and have a younger version of Jordan in the 80s and other players like Clyde Drexler, have them double up in both decades, because that's in a way that makes more sense to do it. So you can basically have the 80s versus 90s, 90s versus today, and what a debate that will not settle at all, of course, even though it's on the virtual hardwood. Never settle that question in real life. 2000s versus 70s, 2000s versus 90s, 2000s versus today, etc., etc. There is some cynicism about it. I've seen some people, again, say this is the content we've had in the game, so it's not really adding anything new. It's not a new idea, of course, it's just bringing back an old idea. And look, I do understand that cynicism to a certain extent, because it isn't new content as such, and I know a lot of people aren't necessarily interested in the old content, the retro teams and so forth, or you know, using them in other modes, like if indeed they can be put into my league much the same way that the all-time teams can, the individual all-time squads for each NBA club. It'd be great if they can, obviously. That would be fun to throw them in there, into the mix as well. Some people aren't that excited about it and saying, yes, it's nothing... nothing new, it's nothing special. We could make these teams ourselves if we wanted to in previous games, which is true. I do feel that is a little bit cynical, though, because it's great to have these in the game, I feel, because it's a nice throwback for a start. And as somebody who's been playing basketball video games for over a couple of decades now and seeing all these improvements and seeing this old content that's come and gone, it's nice throwback content. It's a nice additional thing to have in the game. It's an extra copy of those players, which I think is important for modding as well. You know, we talk about we can just make these teams ourselves. Yes, but you can also have those extra assets in the game, including these jerseys they've made for the teams. And the jerseys are basically made off some of the most famous or most common designs from each of the decades that they're from. The 90s jersey looks very much like the 1996 All-Star jersey from the All-Star Weekend in San Antonio, 1996. The 2000s, I'm trying to replace that year. It looks maybe 2004, 2005. I trying to, off the top of my head, I can't remember which one. I'm kind of around that era, which I think was one of the best designs from the 2000s. The 2010s looks, it's a very very familiar design there as well, a very very recent one, I should say. And the 80s one looks very much like the design they had in the 80s. I'm quite a fan of that jersey as well. So I think that's a great concept for the Decade All-Stars. And again, that's another asset we have in the game for modding. You know, that's more content that we can do. You can even edit that that template a little bit, I'm sure, on PC. Extract that that jersey, extract that file, and modify it, and make, I guess, the authentic jerseys. And again, you've got those extra copies of plays. You've got extra slots, extra teams that you can modify as well. So it's more assets, more that we can work with from a modding standpoint. And even if not, it's just more content in the game. And it's making even more use of the plays that they've already licensed. And yeah, so I get the cynicism, but I do think it is cynicism all the same, you know, at the same time. It's kind of looking a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, for many years, I think a lot of us have said, you know, how about bringing back these all-decade teams in addition to the retro squads as well? And then they go ahead and do it, and people move the goalposts. And not all the same people, to be fair. There are a lot of people saying, well, never read the comments, right? You know, looking on some of the Twitter threads and saying things like, oh, nobody cares, and, you know, Park News, my player, my career, etc. And look, I know I've already written one cranky old man article this week with my open letter in the Monday tip-off, a letter from an old head, but people, it's not just about what you like when it comes to video games, and basketball video games in particular, since that's what we're talking about in our community. You know, there's so many things you can do with basketball video games, different modes, the career, the franchise, the online connected modes, different experiences that are all equally valid and fun if you enjoy them. And 2K is at a point where it's offering so much content, so many different modes and deep modes at that, and it's the kind of thing I want to see NBA Live doing, that this kind of stuff, yeah, you know, this is something that at least NBA Live could have been doing with its retro content outside of Ultimate Team. And once again, much like the WNBA stuff, 2K has come and beaten them to the punch about bringing it back to the game, because this hasn't been in the game since 2K10, these all-decade teams. They replaced it with the retro squads in 2K11 for the Jordan Challenge, and moving forward, that's been that. So we've got a lot of great retro content, plus a lot of current content as well, and all these connected modes. And you know what? Not every bit of news is going to be for you and what you like. And that's okay, because the world doesn't revolve around any of us individually. And I know I'm getting into the old cranky old man's situation here again, but it's really something I think we need to grow into. I think getting to the point where I'm one of the older people in the community, I guess, or one of the older people that's still very active in the community. And I do think, you know, with all due respect to some of our younger fans in the community, you do have to realize it's not all about you and what you like. So when you say nobody cares, you mean you don't care. And you do not speak for everyone. And nobody, just as I don't speak for you, just as I can't speak for everyone. Although I do think that we should all... I do throw out the suggestion to myself, to you, and to everyone, that we should be respectful of everybody's preferences when it comes to the games, the fact that they have all these different experiences on offer and different content that appeals to different gamers. I think it's great that they have this. So, yeah, let's settle down. Obviously, My Park, Playground, and My Career News is coming, especially with the demo coming out next week. So, yeah, you know, they're building up to that, okay? There's no need to get upset because not all the news is to your interest or to your liking. At different points of the previous season, we hear things that we don't really care about or don't care as much about as much as other people. That doesn't mean they're not important parts of the game. It doesn't mean nobody cares. Just because you don't care, just because you don't like something, doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it suck. You know, I think that's something you really have to grow into. Cranky old man here again. That how you feel is not necessarily how everybody else feels. And certainly maybe a lot of people feel that way, but you know, this is good content. So let's not get too cynical about it. Lots of more good stuff is coming, as we can see from some of the other, I don't want to say leaks, but just some of the trickles of information that's coming out before the next big developer blogs. But this was good news. I really like the designs on the jerseys. Really like to see the All Decade teams back. So good job 2K on that one. That's not the only new retro content that's going into NBA 2K20, of course. There's also 6 new classic teams added in NBA 2K20. Last time we got 12 new ones. Unless they've been removed, they will still be in the game, along with many others that have been added over the years. Once again, starting with NBA 2K11 and the Jordan Challenge, and then NBA's Greatest the next year in NBA 2K12. But six new classic teams have been added this year. They are the 2003 Phoenix Suns, 2007 Washington Wizards, 2010 Portland Trailblazers, 2014 San Antonio Spurs, 2014 Los Angeles Clippers, and the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers, who of course won the title that year and came back from the 3-1 deficit. So, in fact, two champions there, the 2014 San Antonio Spurs as well. Funnily enough, and I mentioned this in the news post when I posted this bulletin on the main page, the 2014 Spurs, 2003 Suns, 2007 Wizards, and 2014 Clippers are actually all teams that I've mentioned in my ongoing series of Friday Five articles about retro squads I'd like to see added to the game. Definitely wanted to have a cheap plug here and let you know to go back and check out those articles. I've posted the links on the main page. If you go back when you're listening to this in the third week of August, you can go back and look at those articles. We'll search for retro teams I'd like to see in the search box there, and those articles, the list of articles will come up, the ongoing series. That's been a fun series to do, actually, not just coming up with the ideas, because I'm up to part 11, and once you get to 11, it is hard to think of new teams you haven't already suggested or aren't actually in the game. And now, of course, they've added four out of those six that I actually suggested, which is cool to see. Not taking responsibility for that, by the way. I'm not saying that it was my suggestion that did it. I'm sure that it's a suggestion. Some of those suggestions are quite a few overlap with other people's opinions. But yeah, it is hard to get up to to know which kind of teams to add, because they've added so many classic teams already and important teams and past champions and other significant teams that were contenders or opponents for champions that ran about that same era. So you get a bit creative, and I like that they've done that. Things like the 2000 Blazers, the 2003 Mavericks, even the 2000 Raptors. They've gone a little bit creative in recent years when they've added it past the Jordan Challenge and NBA's Greatest. They've come up with some good ideas. And even here, the 2010 Blazers, you know, Brandon Roy, a great player whose career cut short by knee injuries and recurring knee problems. The 2014 Clippers, kind of right there in the middle of Lob City, that never quite reached their potential, I guess, and has since broken up, although the Clippers are coming back in a big way with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George now, and even having such a great season last year after they were supposed to drop off. So teams that are fun to play with in video games, and that's why I suggest things in the articles, make suggestions like the 2002 Clippers, and if you've seen that highlight, Lamar Odom to Darius Miles, that crazy backwards lob from 2002, or might have been 2001-2002 season. Those are great teams to play with in video games, because there's lots of what-if scenarios and simply just a lot of talent that never really gelled on the court, but on the virtual hardwood, a lot of fun to play with. 2003 Phoenix Suns, Stephon Marbury there, and Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire as a rookie. 2007 Washington Wizards, Gilbert Arenas, now that he's back in the game, you've got him there with Anton Jamison. Also want to shout out to NLSC community member Razor, who's now on the team at 2K, of course, and I know he's been putting in some great work with the faces. You can see some of his creations there, and he mentioned that on Twitter. You know, shout out to you, Razor. That's some really great efforts there. That's a great matchup, obviously, for the 2007 Cavs, who were already in the game. A lot of rivalry back then with the Wizards and the Cavs. Met up in the playoffs, I think, two or three years in a row. LeBron's first playoff victory, I believe, first series victory. And some battles there, obviously, with Gilbert Arenas before injuries derailed his career. And Deshaun Stevenson and the rivalry that he had with LeBron back long before Lance Stevenson was doing it. It was Deshaun Stevenson messing around with him and talking trash. Great matchup there between two teams that were on the rise, never quite got there. Of course, LeBron has had success in the years since. 2014 Spurs, the last championship team to date for the Spurs, and the Cavs being one of the most notable champions for the 3-1 comeback. Very solid additions there. I mean, there's a lot of other teams I'd love to see added to the game. It all comes down to who they can license easily, and if they can license enough of those players. I'd really love to see them get some missing players like Rasheed Wallace into the game, and look, hey, if we could get Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller, that would be great, but even just because they've already got a couple of teams that Rasheed Wallace was on, he kind of sticks out like a sore thumb missing. I mean, at least they don't, apart from the all-time Suns and Pacers team, I suppose, they don't. It's not that they've put the 93 Suns in there without Barkley, or the 98 Pacers without Reggie Miller. I'd love to see both of those teams in the game, and them on the all-time teams and everything, and that would be fantastic, but not counting on it this year, unfortunately. I think that would be something they would have announced this week along with the other historical content. But I thought, that, again, this was good news. It's cool to get some extra teams in there. 2K's gone above and beyond with the retro content. I know we haven't had a retro challenge mode for years, and that's a shame, but it is what it is, and obviously they've been putting in the work elsewhere. But just to get some of these classic teams and the all-decade teams, I'm really happy to see it. I know, again, people saying, oh, who cares? Some people do, and there's probably a lot of people who do more than you realize, and the fact that they've done this is not going to mean that they haven't put work into the playground and my career and the neighborhood and everything else. In fact, we know they've been doing some work on my career from some of the information that's been coming out of the community event. So let's just chill on the negativity. You know, we are as critical as anybody else here at the NLSC of 2K when they mess up, but when they do something great, you absolutely should, and we do give credit. Cool to see these extra teams in the game. Pretty good selection. There's definitely a lot of others. Over 50, I suppose, of teams that I would like to see, and I've already actually drafted further articles for that series or laid out some picks for that, so check that out in the coming weeks and months when I rotate through my various topics in the Friday Five. I suppose they've taken the Cavs from me in the 2010 Blazers, so I don't think I picked them in either of my articles. So if I have to double check, if I have, I'll need to come up with some other options. But those are the six that have been added. Great to see, along with the all-decade team. So thumbs up to 2K on that front. And once again, love those all-decade jerseys as well. So once again, we are just a couple of weeks away from the release of the full version of NBA 2K20. This week, the demo drops August 21st, that is. I was reading on Operation Sports that it's now going to be 8 a.m. rather than... after the clock ticks over at midnight. I have to double check that, but basically the demo will be going live this week. We don't know exactly what the demo is going to entail at this point, the extent of the demo. We know we're going to be able to try out various builds and try the new My Player Builder. There has been some information and even footage coming out, some gameplay footage. Looking at the footage, it's hard to really gauge the gameplay from that, because it always depends on how the people are playing it, what difficulty they're playing on. A lot of people play on the pro difficulty when they're playing at these events, so you don't always get the best idea of how tough the defense is, for example. So I like to take that with a grain of salt, but one thing you can see in a lot of the footage is the movement does look a lot better. The differentiation in speed, just the way the players are moving around, it's looking like they've really polished that motion system or got a better one in. You know, 2K18 and 19, I think they had struggled with that new motion system. It wasn't that it made the games unplayable, in my opinion, but certainly you could tell there were quirks that it wasn't quite where it wanted to be. It's looking at least like they've fixed that up this year with this new dribbling system that's a bit more like NBA Live's. Looks like it could be a real winner, especially with the quality of animations in 2K, so that's really cool to see. We do have some information via a Newsweek article that's, I believe, compiled a lot of the information from the community day. I haven't put this, haven't posted this on the main page as yet, because it does seem to be some conflicting information and some information that seems like there may have been some a misunderstanding at some point, and I'll get to that when I get to it. So I'm waiting for some official blogs, the developer blogs about my career, to really confirm some of these details before I really report on them. But I'll talk about them here on the podcast because it's interesting information, and I imagine that most of it is true, is accurate, if not a little bit bungled in some cases, because perhaps the way people have worded it has confused people who are trying to aggregate all the information here. But so this article that came out on Newsweek, and shout out to TG So Good in the forum, and TG's been doing some great videos. He's not only been a great modder in our community and done some great tutorials, but now he's got some great content going with the news videos as well, and his discussions, and some top five countdowns and whatnot. So definitely check him out on YouTube as well. But this article on Newsweek that's aggregated this information about my career, basically one of the big things about my career this year, it seems, is that archetypes as we know them don't exist. We've gone to a new system with archetypes based on the stats that we invest in the most. So that's kind of like the NBA Live 16 model, which I thought was a good way of doing it. And basically your archetype changes based on how you build your player, and even if you start investing your skill points in Live, and I guess VC here, although we'll get to that in a minute, is how you upgrade your attributes, your ratings, it will change, and you can even change into a different archetype if you decide to evolve your player in a certain direction, which I think is a good way of doing it. It's less restrictive. I think archetypes were one of those ideas that were... It was a good idea in theory, but in practice it's just made so many OP archetypes, and then others have just been underpowered or broken. So this way it looks like they're going a lot with more flexibility, that you can really make a real RPG style of building the player. And looking at some of the other ideas, it looks like they've really gone down that road. But so basically you can use a pie chart that acts as the base of your build, and then place 4 initial points in playmaking, finishing, shooting, or defense. When you finish, the game tells you which NBA athlete your player most resembles. And here's something that's quite interesting, and it does go back to what's been mentioned about this new My Player Builder. Builds can be tested at every overall level before finalizing your choice. And this is something that's really big, because we've talked about this on previous shows and mentioned how other guys on the NLSC gaming squad, particularly the X, have had really bad experiences by picking an archetype that's turned out to be not very fun, either online, offline, or both. So being able to test that out and be able to see what they're like as they get better means that you, before you make a commitment to whatever build that you're putting together, you can actually see how they're going to play, and at a high level as well, and see if that's going to be worth the grind. If that's the case, that's a real step in the right direction, to say the least. We can apparently create our own attribute caps. If you're a stretch big, your attributes are restricted past a certain height. That is going to be huge for balance if that's the case. We've seen so many OP bigs in Pro-Am and the Jordan Rec Center in recent years, and Walk-On and the Playground, of course, that can dunk like Sean Kemp and shoot like Steph Curry. And, you know, players are very versatile these days, and there's been a lot of stress, you know, positionless basketball and everything, but it's not quite at the point where we've got players who are 7 foot, who can handle a ball like a Kyrie Irving and shoot like Curry and such. There's got to be some kind of balance. We haven't seen simply physically impossible to really, when you're that tall, to have all of those abilities. So having that balance is vital for online, basically vital. So sounds like another step in the right direction. Apparently there's female character builds for my career, so wait and see what's happening there, whether they're just for the playground, much the way Live does it for live events and the streets, how you can create a female player. Or if there is a one-year My Career, a career mode or something like that, or full-on career mode, we'll probably learn that when that comes out. Perhaps by the time you're listening to this, the blog will already be out and you'll already know. But in any case, that is information yet to be confirmed and clarified. Been described as the most balanced My Player Builder yet, which it definitely sounds like it, and seeing some of the screenshots that have come out, the way you can pick all the attributes and build the player, it definitely does look very detailed. And once again, assuming we're getting a look at that in the demo, so that will be a great way of utilizing the demo. And it's also suggested that we'll be able to get to 99 quicker this year. And knowing how long it's taking and putting hours and hours, something like 800 to 1,000 hours into my career on the road to 99 to get to 99 in the last couple of years, I think that's only appropriate. I think it's getting to the point where it hasn't really rewarded the grinders as much as they wanted. And yeah, having played through 2 seasons and in my career and all the online games, I feel like I probably should be closer to 99 than the 93 that I am. So again, sounding like a good step in the right direction there. As for badges, we mentioned in a previous show that they've been changing the approach to it this year, and it sounds like they've, in theory, made some good changes. About 80 confirmed badges, at least 21 are driving-related, apparently. Now here's something that's interesting. It says that each game will get badge points, attribute points, and VC. This means you'll be grinding for points this year instead of VC. I don't know. you know, that would be tremendous. Don't get me wrong, that would be absolutely fantastic for my career. I mean, that would almost get me back into my career this year if it was an easier grind. If I could just play it a little bit on the side and build up a player, if I wanted to play it online, while still spending most of my time in my league and my team. But to separate attribute upgrades from VC, I'm skeptical until we get some proper clarification on that with the blog from 2K themselves, because that's a great way of getting recurrent revenue. And recurrent revenue is up 140% this year. And look, the developers are working with what the company tells them to do as far as VC goes. You know, do not begrudge the developers for this. I'm sure they're aware of how controversial it is and the whole situation. I'm sure plenty of people have said that to them at the community day and whatnot. But it is something that Take-Two are obviously going to be very invested in because it's such great returns for them with the recurrent revenue. So with that in mind, it's very hard to see them moving away from VC connected to attribute points, because that means if VC is only for cosmetic items, that means a lot of people will just not do it, unless they're making it more expensive or they're getting rid of things like the wheel where you can get some free clothes or something like that. The idea of not having any attribute upgrades with VC it just seems so unlikely that I feel like that's a miscommunication there, that something's been lost in the description there. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, hey, if that has changed, then that could be a huge step forward, a huge improvement going into the next generation. But it just seems so unlikely with how much money VC sales could make them, and certainly if you want people to grind up quicker and get that day one boost and catch up so they can be competitive online, you want them to buy VC, and unless you can buy attribute points as well. I mean, if you can buy that separately as well, but then why would you have that as a separate currency? Yeah, it's so I do feel that's something that needs to be clarified, and one of the reasons that I'm not going ahead and running that as the article just yet until we get the full developer blog that confirms and clarifies all of this. But yeah, that's certainly if that is the case, that would be tremendous. But I do feel a little bit cynical there, a little bit skeptical about that, because it would not be that 2K could stand to show us more goodwill, but that would be more goodwill than they that's cutting off their noses to spite their face, that one. So I don't know about that, but if it is, that's an idea that would almost get me back into my career perhaps. We can also pick the badges we'd like to in my career this year, and so that goes back to not having the rigidity of the archetypes. I think that sounds like a really good thing to do. So there's going to be obviously risk and reward as to which ones you have, and it really sounds more like they're going to go with more of a traits system, not quite the same as traits in NBA Live, but more being able to have that picking those extra abilities that you have, and apparently you can be you can get them in and out. Badges are picked at the start, but they can be upgraded and removed at will. So yeah, so there is some flexibility there. Again, coming into this whole RPG system and being able to equip certain abilities and everything, in theory, of course, sounds really good. It's been pointed out over on the 2K Reddit that there obviously will come to a point where people find out the ideal builds that really work online or whatever, and perhaps then we'll start seeing a bit little less of variety, but at the same time, maybe we will see a lot of variety now that people can really make a build that really works for them, and they don't have to pick they've got a bit more choice and flexibility as far as the risk and reward of each different build and how they invest the points. So it's definitely intriguing. Want to hear some more clarification about that, and just like the situation with badge attribute and VC, we will see. Apparently there's a badge called Quick Draw that speeds up the release of all jump shots, a badge called Ice in My Veins. It's a clutch-sounding badge, if you ask me. Dribble badges include handles for days, unpluckable, tight handles, and stop-and-go. Or ball control abilities there, basically, and being able to protect the ball, I would think, with unpluckable. And a badge to increase shooting in hot zones. So, again, some different player abilities that they're bringing in to try and represent different player abilities and styles of play. No double takeovers this year, and this is getting back to the whole traits, similar to being traits like NBA Live. Traits are chosen before you play and can be changed later in the My Player editor. So you can choose how you want to take over the game. So even if you are more of a perhaps a passer like I am, but you want to be able to take over and really catch fire and shoot and you know, and make knock down some clutch threes, if you want to you know, forgo passing and do that, it sounds like you've got that. Again, the flexibility that they're doing it, which sounds like a great way after a few years of archetypes that were... I think the archetypes had merit. It's just they didn't work out as well as hoped. And it's like ideas like Freestyle Superstars back in the day in NBA Live 06 and 07 and 08 kind of backed off it a little bit and changed it around. But it was a great idea at the time, and it was trying to give players more control and trying to differentiate players and make stars stand out and give players signature moves. So all these concepts that EA were working with at the time, just as 2K were working with the archetypes this generation with my career, the ideas have merit, and they're trying to do things that we want to represent in the game and have those abilities that we want to have in the game. They've just not worked out as well as we would have liked. And sometimes that's the way it goes. You try these ideas and then you develop them, or you scrap them, or you take the parts that work and make them repurpose them for a new mode or new gameplay mechanics in this situation. And I think that sounds good. They have mentioned that takeovers aren't going to be as OP this year, which, if true, is also good. Takeovers available to you are tied to your stats. Obviously, if you are a playmaker and you haven't built up your shooting, I would imagine you're not going to be perhaps take that takeover. You're not going to have some kind of post scoring takeover abilities if you're not any kind of in any way a post scorer. So logical approach there, absolutely. And at least one new takeover, though it's not mentioned. So it does sound like, as Newsweek puts it, an overhauled Road to 99. Lots of changes to the archetype system, which is no longer that rigid system. It's a shame that I am so burned out on my career, and it's because that I have been grinding so hard for a few years now, as we're getting more into the online side of things, when I was playing more pro-am and not having that online, not enjoying the online experience as much in recent years, the last couple of years in particular, and really just having felt like I've done everything I can in my career, and especially after just really playing the hell out of the mode in 2K19, I do want to move on. Reading some of this, again, it does make me wonder, would I like to get back into my career or just play a little bit on the side, if it's possible? And that is something that I do like about the One in NBA Live. So I haven't played as much of the One compared to my career, but even having not played it, I've actually got my player fairly upgraded just through playing occasional live events and live run and things like that. If there was a way to progress your player a bit quicker in my career and the connected modes in my career in 2K, special events and just playing in the playground and things like that, and again, you really need, if you're going to do this, you need proper matchmaking as well, because you're going to, otherwise people are going to be trying to grind against opponents that they're just overmatched by. But if there was something like that, then I probably would still play the connected modes at least, because it might be fun to jump online and see what it's like. But I'm sick of investing the time. Well, I say sick. It's not like I haven't had fun with it, but it is a grind. It is, to some extent, feeling like you've got to work to play kind of thing, if that makes sense. You've really got to put in the work to grind up your player and then finally get to the point where they're viable to play with both online and offline. So it's starting over again each and every year. And even if you do, I don't really want to pay for the VC I didn't in 2K19. I'm tired of that approach to trying to pay for that day one upgrade to actually be able to play online, and not wanting to do that, not wanting to really grind just so the game feels viable online, so that my player feels viable, and doing that year after year, it's I've had enough of it basically, and I've had fun with it, as I said, but at the same time, it's the parts that aren't fun I'm kind of sick of, and I also feel accomplished having got to the Hall of Fame. I'm just about ready to retire that player from the NBA, and just so I can get that cutscene, I'll probably throw that up as a Monday tip-off feature and look at that. But yeah, I've had enough. Also feel accomplished, both negatively and positively. I feel done with my career, so it's kind of a shame that these really great changes, for me personally, that these great changes or great sounding changes are coming into the mode this year. It's great for the mode, and I'm really happy to see this, because I think these are, if it pans out as well as hoped, I think these are things that the mode really does need. I think they're making some really great changes here. They're working towards them. Whether I can enjoy them, benefit from them, maybe not. Depends how much time you have to sink into it to actually see results and to make a viable online player. But I am planning to return to my league this year, get stuck into that, and maybe a bit of my team on the side as well. But again, it's not all about what I'm playing. It's not just about one person. It's what's best for the game as a whole and what's best for every part of the demographic. Everyone who's playing 2K needs to have that optimal experience, ideally have that optimal experience in every facet of the game. Gameplay, my league online, my GM, my team, you know, the Connected Online, Pro-Am, Playground, my career, the NBA side of my career, it all needs to be fantastic. You know, ideally, all fantastic and delivering on these concepts and not having any kind of drawbacks. Or, you know, it's not going to be a perfect game, but it's certainly going to have the best design possible for the technology that's available at the time. And it is sounding like they're working towards that, that they're taking some of that feedback about archetypes and the way and the upgrade system and the Road to 99 and everything else. So whether it draws me back in at all, we'll see. It might not be quite enough because I'm simply looking forward to having different experiences and being able to play with multiple players, not just my player. But for those who are going to be playing the My Career and the online modes, the Connected Online experiences this year, it's sounding like you're getting some good changes for that. So I suppose hold up on the thumbs up completely, but it definitely does sound good. If this is the way it goes, then it does sound like they've made some great changes this year, and hats off to them for trying to address it. So, certainly there's going to be a new approach to archetypes. That's pretty much confirmed. The situation with badge points, attribute points, and VC, again, I feel that needs to be clarified and confirmed properly, because it just seems so unlikely that they'd give away that kind of revenue that they can get from VC sales, unless they're just banking on my team to make all the VC sales. That's interesting. The only thing, in fact, as far as VC, the only thing that I will miss about not playing my career this year is getting once you get to the point where you're just making oodles and oodles of VC, and I think I got to the point where I was probably made about $500,000 over the VC over the course of playing 2K19. At one point, I had over 300,000, and I was able to spend that on my team packs. So not having that source of revenue is one thing that I'll miss about not playing my career this year, if indeed I don't use it as a way to get some extra VC. But I do want to get some clarification on that before I go ahead and run the story and try and summarize the exact improvements. But you can check that out in the forum. You can check that Newsweek article that, again, TG So Good, shout out to you for posting that in the forum. Wanted to talk about it on the show, of course, and give some thoughts on it. Sounding pretty good. The best part about it, the whole idea of being able to get attribute points rather than VC is... that sounds a bit too good to be true. I feel like there's something, there's got to be a catch there. Basically, it's it would be above and beyond as far as the goodwill goes for 2K to completely separate VC, you know, skill points, attribute points, skill points, and VC. There was that interview with Rob Jones where he said that they felt it was a confusing system, which, you know, I feel it's, considering they went to three different currencies for my team, I feel it's not so much that as so much as, if people don't have to buy VC, they won't. I think that's more of a, you know, the situation than anything else. But that being said, we'll see what's happening there, and potentially big there. And if not, as long as it's a less of a grind, if it's more of an enjoyable journey, that's an improvement in and of itself. So we'll see what happens when they come out with the My Career trailer, which will no doubt be dropping this week, probably around the same time as the demo. Which again, August 21st, US time. OS is saying 8 a.m. rather than the 12:01, you know, going live right after midnight. So we'll see about confirmation on that. But demo is coming soon, so we'll be able to test out some of these things and get our first hands-on look at the game before the full version drops on September 6th. So yeah, some good news all around, possibly. Certainly sounding like it. We'll see about some confirmation on those details. Probably within the next couple of days. But that's about all the news we have this week, so I'll stop talking your ear off now. I'll turn the conversation over to you. Let me know if you're listening to this on the NLSC, let me know in the comments, or hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts, or indeed Facebook with your thoughts on the latest news, and keep it locked to the NLSC as we'll be on top of further developments with NBA 2K20. Of course, we'll also be talking a little bit more about Live 20 when we hear a bit more about it. As we said last week, we know that something is coming. We just awaiting more details on what the situation with Live is. We've talked about that in extent and what it means and what we feel about a possible free-to-play NBA Live and all those rumors and suggestions. And you can go back and listen to episode number 294 for that. But yes, that has brought us to the end of episode number 295 of the NLSC podcast. Hope you enjoyed this solo show this week. Should have one of the guys back next week at least to bounce some ideas off and have a proper conversation, not just me monologuing about the news. But hope you enjoyed it all the same. If you do enjoy the NLSC podcast, a podcast about basketball video games, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on Spotify, Podcast Addict, and Stitcher. Search for the NLSC podcast logo. That will be us, or indeed follow the links on the news post and in the forum. Or keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media, and we certainly encourage you to do so. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. On YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for episode number 295 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I've been Andrew. Go get buckets, everyone.